Welcome to the Market Mystics Podcast. I'm Joshua.
I'm Kim. Let's dive in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's a good Monday.
It is a good Monday.
It's the first Monday in March. That feels wild. Like, I was just telling Bree the other day, I was like, I can't believe February is over. Like, it feels like the year just started.
That's true. And March is the end of the first quarter, which is even crazier.
I know. That's wild.
That is wild. Hey, you know what? Purim's coming up.
That's so fun.
It is.
Do you think there's anything different this year for you in that? Or is it just like, hey, this is the thing? Like,
what do you mean?
I mean, like, do any of the holidays like ever, like, do you feel, okay, I'm trying to like wrap my thoughts around this. Like, we've had conversations about like, oh, there's a shift coming, something's happening. Like, do you ever get that with the feasts of like, oh, something feels different about this? Or is it just like, oh, it's time for Purim again? Or
that's fun. Purim doesn't ever feel like that to me. Purim just feels fun. I don't know. Maybe it's not supposed to be fun. I think it is supposed to be fun, but it always just feels fun. The ones that always come with shifts for me, or what typically comes with shifts, are Passover and Pentecost. I mean, they're really close to each other, so I shouldn't group them together, but that time always feels like it comes with a shift.
Sure. I think they're roughly 50 days apart.
No, they're not.
Passover and Pentecost?
Are they 50 days apart? They feel like they're right next to each other. Kind of like trumpets and tabernacles feels like it's right next to each other.
Isn't that what pent means?
It does mean five.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Pentecost is 50 days after Passover.
Okay, you should look it up. Okay, so those two are combined in my mind. I don't think they're the same thing, but they always seem like in the same time.
No, they're directly connected for sure.
And then Rosh Hashanah always feels like it's something different. And those are the two times of the year with the Jewish calendar that it feels different for me.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm still combining those two as the same time on the calendar. I don't actually think they're the same.
So I Googled it, and it says Pentecost is a Christian holiday which takes place on the 50th day after Easter Sunday. I don't know if any of that except for the 50th is correct, because I don't think Pentecost was a Christian holiday. And it's not 50 days after Easter. It's 50 days after Passover.
What Google did you use?
This is on Wikipedia from
Pentecost. Oh, but Wikipedia.
Yeah, but you would think that there would be some, I would assume there would be some people of the Jewish faith who would be like, hey, that's actually not correct.
They probably don't go to Wikipedia to look up Pentecost.
Yeah, they probably just know that, huh?
You should look at a different source.
I probably should.
Look at like Chabad, isn't it?
Or Chabad.
Chabad.
Yeah.
I know it's, I don't say it very well, but I try. Like Hanukkah. Or challah.
All of those, like, man, that is one of the hardest things as an American is the guttural sounds. I struggle with them in language.
Same. Listen, we've spent a decent amount of time in South Africa. We love South Africa. We have part of our heart is definitely there. And we have a lot of friends who speak Afrikaans, and those G's, they get me every time. I can't do the sound. I've tried. It's been 5 years that I've been trying to do this G sound, and I can't do it. And it's very guttural. I was about to attempt it for you, and I'm not going to do it.
I think that makes sense. It isn't easy.
It's not easy for us.
It's not easy when you have not been, when your language doesn't use those.
Right. It's very true. You want to know something interesting? My daughter Illy was in speech therapy for a little less than a year. And over the summer, she had a different instructor because she was going through the college here who has a master's program in speech pathology. And he was telling me how speech therapy is so different in every area and how you have to adjust according to dialect and how he had a friend who is a speech therapist in South Africa and how, what a challenging position that was because they have 11 official languages and that's a lot to account for. And when people are multilingual, I would say more than just bilingual, right? And with those different dialects from the different areas, it's got to be confusing. It's confusing here. We were talking about Massachusetts. I have a lot of family from Massachusetts. And Illy was going to speech therapy for her R's. And they don't do that there because they don't say their R's there. Isn't that interesting? Havid.
That is really interesting.
Right.
Huh.
Or that's what he was saying. We might wind up getting comments going, yes, they do. And I'm sorry. It's just what he told me. And I'm taking him as the expert.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I know this isn't what we were going to talk about, but while we were talking about like Jewish feasts and Jewish holidays, we're very close to the Jewish biblical New Year. And just those, like, there's like what some people call like the high holy days, which tend to be later in the year where there's like some really important things. But also like right here, we've got like you talked about Purim, and there's Pentecost and Passover. And like, I was talking to Bree and my parents the other day about like, oh, somebody that we know had posted some like end time prophecy thing, like a lot of people love to pay attention to. And what was interesting was like, I had a totally different response to it than maybe I've had. Cause I think there was a moment of time where I like took those like super seriously. And I was like, everyone's got to pay attention to this. We need to know about it. What are we doing? Like, get the beef jerky and the canned goods. And then there was a little bit of time where I took it and I was like, this doesn't even matter. Who cares about this? Like, this isn't what it's about. And now I feel like I found myself in a much more middle of the road spot with it. And so I was kind of like, okay, I don't actually believe that end times mean the end of the world. I think it means the end of the age. And I think that it will just usher in the next age and will like go on about whatever that is. Like, we'll just, I don't exactly know what that'll look like. I don't personally think that our Bible covers the next age. I think it covers this age, and that's why it ends with the end of the age. And maybe it gives some hints, but it doesn't really go far into it. And so I think that that's like, I found myself in this spot of like, okay, well, if I don't believe the world's ending, and I'm not quite in the place of none of this matters, then it does have some meaning and some significance. But what is that to me? And the whole conversation sort of revolved around animal sacrificing in Israel, which is rumored.
I just heard about this too. Were we talking about it?
I think we were.
Okay.
I think we did last week. But that's rumored to start around Passover this year. Or at least that's part of this prophecy thing that I heard. And so I was like, well, okay, that is significant because the Bible talks about when that starts again, that is an important thing. But what does it matter to me? And how does it change the way I live? And that was like a really interesting thing. And it maybe connects to the idea that you had, because in my mind, like, to some extent, the book of Revelations is this big us and them battle. But if it isn't exactly that, and it is just ushering in the next age, then what do I do with that information? And how do I feel about it? And how does it change the way that I approach the feasts? Or does it change the way I approach the news? Which is why I asked you about Purim and Passover. Like, if there's like, do you ever, like, I was wondering, do you feel sometimes like, oh, this is significant, it's a shift in something? Like, just curious, like, because I think I'm looking at that in my life, like, oh, what do I do with this? What does it mean? And so, yeah, just wondering what you like, what does it feel like for you? Like,
I think it's a valid question, because especially with these feasts that Yahweh like put in place for the Jews to recognize and observe, I think they carry energy in a big way. And so it's important to tap in and pay attention to that energy and what it is shifting or what it is carrying or receiving what it has for you. Those kinds of things. Have I done that? No. But now that I'm talking about it, will I do it? I think so. And I don't know why Purim doesn't feel like such a shifting feast to me, but it doesn't. It just feels like a fun feast. Passover feels like there's shift that comes with it. Pentecost feels like it has shift that comes with it. But maybe that's just been my experience thus far. I think it's really interesting what you're talking about, and kind of this end times prophecy stuff. And I was thinking while you were talking about it, I've also been hearing a lot of people who are really diving into essentially 2024 being a repeat of 2020.
I've heard that a lot.
And I don't know if our listeners were a part of this or not, because I know there are a lot of prophecies in 2020. I know that we were part of one. And honestly, it was something that I heard directly from the Lord, stuff that we had to prepare for. And then it didn't happen. And it's a really interesting thing. You're talking about this again, or you're talking about this now, because I think even how I would handle it in 2024 is different than I handled it in 2020. Like when it didn't happen in 2020, I really had to search myself and I had to seek the Lord and figure out, well, you told me this, and I know you told me this, and you told lots of other people this around us, and why didn't this happen? And were we all wrong? Were we deceived? And what I learned in that time was the importance of being able to shift with the flow. And just because something could happen, or just because we're on the trajectory for something to happen, doesn't mean it always will, but it also doesn't mean you shouldn't be prepared for it. And that's kind of where I sit with some of that stuff. But I also, like you're talking about the book of Revelation and the us versus them kind of, I don't know, point of view or whatever, positioning, I suppose. And I don't currently feel that way. I'm in a really strange place as a Christian who fought and was a warrior and was constantly battling for the majority of my life. And now I've been taken out of that, and I'm not sure that I have an enemy. If you're listening to the audio, I'm cringing because I know that that won't necessarily be well received by a lot of people. But the Father's just kind of taken me into a different place of kind of that unrelenting love no matter what. And that doesn't, it's not to say I don't have an adversary, or there aren't ever people or beings or spirits that are against me, but that doesn't mean that I'm against them. And I think there's a difference between having an adversary and having an enemy, because at least in my mind, an enemy is indicative of a two-sided agreement to be against each other. You know what I mean? So The us versus them doesn't even sound relevant to me at this point. Because I don't know that I'm actually fighting against anyone. I'm fighting for kingdom, but I don't know that I'm fighting an enemy. I'm trudging through that kind of fighting. You know what I mean? What do you think about that? Oh dear.
No, I think it's good. Like the reason I like hesitate is because like this has been like something in my life where, much like the, like I said with the prophecies, I was like way one way and then way the other way. And now I'm like trying to navigate like it's not that I'm neutral on every topic, but I want to have like a balanced perspective where I can actually see truth in both sides.
Same.
Like that's where I strive to be. And so I also agree that just because I have an adversary doesn't mean that they're my enemy. It does mean that they are push against me. And I think that's like where it gets like tricky sometimes, mm-hmm. is it's like, mm-hmm. man, that can feel like an enemy.
Right.
But it's also so necessary for like development. It's like, if you don't have any resistance, you don't grow.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There's value in resistance. Mm-hmm. And I also want to be clear that I don't lay down to be run over because I don't actually believe I have an enemy. I know that there's an adversary, or there are adversaries, but I continue forward. I see it as, I think we talked about this. We did talk about this. I see this as like hurdles, not roadblocks. You know, it's something that you need to overcome and you need to get past, not something that stops you in your tracks, and not anything that is able. It, that sounds bold, but I don't actually think it is. I think I'm a son of God. And I think that within him holds, like, he carries all authority and power in the earth. And when we're able to carry that, he allows us to. And so, no, I don't think that there's anything that can actually stop me from doing what he has for me. But it doesn't mean it's easy, and it doesn't mean there isn't resistance. That's the word. Right?
Yeah, I think that that is, like, if you can wrap your mind around, like, the resistance piece of it, the growth piece of it, then your adversary doesn't have to be, like, this total enemy that you conquer, any more than, like, adding 5 pounds to the weight that you lift is something you conquer. Like, in a way, it does. Like, in a way, you're conquering that, but you're using it for growth, and it's more of, like, you may not love it, but can you appreciate it? Like, and if you can shift that into that, then, like, your whole life becomes this opportunity for growth rather than, like, resisting the resistance. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm constantly fighting the resistance, and I'm constantly choosing not to grow.
It's true. You know what else is, you know what is another word for resistance? Stretching.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree that stretching tends to help you grow. Right?
Yeah.
And it tends to allow you to do more things than you would otherwise be able to do.
Yeah.
And I think it can be a good thing. I'm also going to state this, because I don't think being in a battle is a bad thing. I think that the Lord took me out of that. In fact, okay, we used to have this group of people who we would meet once a week, every other week, something like that. People all over the country, some from other countries. And we would meet and we would go together, seek the Lord, and go fight on his behalf. We called it the battle group. Like, we were intentional. We were intentional about going and, like, battling. And I remember the last time I was in that group, and I was one of the people who started the group. Okay. We, like, went and we engaged with the Father, and this battle ensued, and he, like, pulled me back and he goes, "This isn't for you anymore. The way that you fight is with love and love alone. And it's time to build an army of love." And so I was like, "Okay, guys, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. Father just said, no, I'm on a different trajectory." But it's not to say you can't do it. And it's not to say that's not where he has you. But for me, I was called out of it. And I haven't fought since. Isn't that crazy? But also, okay, so if you're in a battle and he has you there, I don't think it's a bad thing to be battling or to be fighting, right, or to be a warrior. Like, these are all great things as long as you're doing it as you're led. Right?
Yeah, I think it all comes out of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. I don't know if I've ever told you this, Josh. I've told some people, but I don't know. There came a point in my faith journey. And it was actually fairly early on when I was fighting really hard. As a teenager, I was attacked all the time. Had to learn spiritual battle on my own, like with the Lord, but like without help from other people. When I was younger than I should have had to have learned that, you know? And I quickly learned that fear was this tactic or this tool that the adversary would use to like exert more power. And so I learned how to control like feeling fear. And probably, this is crazy, but probably for the last 20 years, I've never had a nightmare. Mm. Have I told you this?
I don't know. We've talked about some things around this topic, but I don't know about this.
Maybe. Okay. So I have had dreams where they start turning like that. And even in my unconscious brain, so it is like all of myself in agreement with this, I'll have a dream that starts turning that way. And then all of myself goes, wait, this is not for me. This is not how I operate. And I will turn and I will go against whatever is going against me. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So it's like somebody's chasing me with a knife or something, like trying to kill me. And I'm like, wait a minute, they can't do that. And so I turn around and I chase them. Isn't that wild? And I don't know when it, like, there wasn't like a conscious moment of it changing, but all of a sudden, anything that started like that, I would just turn it around.
I think that's amazing.
It's wild.
I think this conversation is wild. I hope the listeners have been on for the ride, because we started by talking about like the Jewish calendar and holidays. And then we started talking about end times. And then we started talking about the adversary.
True.
That's pretty, like,
we went on a journey today.
Thanks for hanging on with us. Also, I did look. We're not as close to the biblical new year because it's a leap year. The Jewish calendar adds an extra month. So they repeat the month of Adar twice. And so the actual biblical new year is not in March like it normally is. It's in April. So I just wanted to clarify that for our listeners, if any of them are like on that train. I didn't want to say the wrong thing.
Probably other people know better than we do.
That's definitely true. Yeah.
And then, okay, did you look up Passover and Pentecost?
When they are?
From anywhere other than Wikipedia?
I did look them up. Purim is March 23rd.
Okay.
Passover is April 22nd.
Okay.
And then Shavuot or Pentecost is June 11th.
Oh, that is a long distance between. I thought they were much closer. Is it exactly 50 days?
It is, yeah.
Did you count it or you found a real source that said
50 days? I didn't count it, but I'm on Chabad. So.
I feel like they're a legit source for that.
I think they know it.
I think so too. So yeah. There we go, 50 days between, but it feels like that.
It does. It does.
I always like join them together. But they are related.
Well, they are definitely related. So it makes sense to me why you would join them together.
Yes.
They're just not next door to each other.
They're not next door neighbors, but they're related.
Yeah. That's awesome. Oh,
funny. Okay.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us today on this wild ride. I would especially love comments on this video because it is such a wild ride. Just let us know where you're at.
Heck yeah. I would also really like those comments. And I even want feedback on the enemy stuff and the battle stuff, because I know everybody's in different places. Yeah. And I don't assume that where I am is where everyone else is.
Sure.
But sometimes other people's journeys also help me stretch and learn and grow.
True.
Yeah. Okay.
Love it.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks for listening. Keep up with us along this journey by liking, subscribing, and becoming a member through YouTube.
Members get exclusive access to bonus content with our guests, deeper dives into topics, and a look into other projects. We're glad to have you here. See you next time.